We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
UCLA's win streak indeed is at 11.
Oh, it wasn't easy to get there, but indeed an 11-game win streak. That is the truth. The Bruins overall now 14-2. They are 5-0 in conference. They survived with a capital S against USC 60-58 on Thursday night. This is Josh Lewin. We'll recap it for you here. USC had only 32 points in the second half, and it was almost enough to win the game. They had only 26 points in the first half. UCLA had a 44-point first half. It shrunk to 16 in the second half, and they had to rally to get there, as you'll hear in just a moment. The Bruins started out 7 of 13 from 3, then they went 1 of 11, and then finally hit one at the end that was a really big deal from Jalen Clark. And then USC with a chance to tie it or win it at the end, as they usually do, it seems, against the Bruins. It did not happen this time. So with a 2-point win, let's try to put a smile on our face here and go courtside. Here's what Tracy and I were talking about when it was over.
Well, in the month of March, you're going to hear the phrase survive and advance very often, I would think. We're going to invoke it on January 5th. Huh. Josh Lewin and Tracy Murray with you. Survive and advance to rest for a week and figure out how that one almost got away. The Bruins did beat USC 60-58 in the 261st meeting between these two rivals. This one would have been the all-time cough 'em up, Trace. The Bruins almost handed the game to SC, but they didn't. They won by two.
No kidding. I mean, this one is it was so stressful in the second half. It's hard to even be happy about this win because of the lead that we had in the first half. And it was just such a disappointment in the second half at the way the Bruins came out with their effort. But you got to expect SC to come out and play hard. So you dodge the bullet, you get the win, and you move on to the next one.
There were things happening that are just simply tough to explain. I mean, Tiger Campbell, a 3 of 14 night. Jaime Jaquez Jr. hitting the side of the backboard with a layup attempt. I mean, it was just so not UCLA in the second half. But let's go back to the first half, Trace. I mean, that thing was swordfish at the Four Seasons in the first half. That thing was running great. 18-point lead at the half. But just as quickly as you're enjoying the swordfish at a nice hotel, it was, I mean, chicken under a heat lamp at 7-11 in the second half. And nobody seems to know where that came from.
Right. But, you know, when you have a lead going into the first half, you have to come out the first 5 minutes and put them away. You got to understand that they're going to come out with a lot of pride and nothing to lose in the second half. It is a rivalry game. They're going to come out and fight. So the Bruins have to do a better job of coming out in the second half in the first 5 minutes and putting people away.
The two of us wearing these headsets, we usually don't jump up to give USC a lot of credit. I mean, the whole fight on thing gets very, very tiresome. But they fought on. I mean, they absolutely did exactly that tonight. And the Bruins, for a while, just didn't have an answer, Trace. There was a stretch that we talked about middle of that second half where the Bruins somehow went 10 minutes and 6 seconds without a field goal. And it wasn't just they were flinging them up and they were falling away. It's not like they were 0 for 15. They only took 7 shots in those 10 minutes.
It was a combination of a few things, Josh. Number one, they got more physical the second half. Number two, their defense picked up and there were no driving lanes. The Bruins were not aggressive at getting downhill and causing a group defense stop to where they can kick it out for somebody to get an open shot like they did in the first half. I mean, the Bruins were not aggressive at all offensively in the second half.
And the whack-a-mole thing kind of came up and hurt them. They held Ellis to 10 and Peterson to 9, but up came Reese Dixon Waters with a 12-point second half, 16 points overall. He was 7 of 7 from the field, 2 of 2 from the line, and you and I were both a little surprised. It was 6 seconds to go in the game on the line. He never touched the ball.
Well, I was saying the whole time, even at the beginning of the game, that's the guy you need to watch because he's the one that's the silent killer. All of the attention is on Ellis and Peterson, but Dixon Waters is the guy that's tough. He's going to come, you know, when the game is on the line, and he's going to play at a high level. This is a guy that he was scoring on isolations, and nobody can do anything about it, and then the last 6 seconds, they go away from him. That was to the Bruins' advantage.
We jokingly called that number two that he wears the number of death because the last two Trojans to wear number two have beaten the Bruins at the horn. Jonah Matthews back at Galen Center from the top of the key. Taj Eady from the corner that's very near where you're sitting right now here, partner, here at Pauley Pavilion in the COVID year. So here's this guy wearing number two this year, Reese Dixon Waters, local guy, right out of Long Beach.
Absolutely. And
so you're thinking, not again, right? I mean, can they really hit a game-winning three again? That would make three times in 4 years. They didn't even try the three. They tried the little runner from the baseline, and Boogie Ellis couldn't hit it.
Well, they thought Boogie Ellis had an advantage to get downhill and score a bucket. But I was more worried about Dixon Waters touching the ball, to be honest with you, because Peterson and Ellis didn't really kill the Bruins tonight. It was Dixon Waters.
So for the Bruins, you know, we talked about Adembona, who ended up getting that rebound with a second and a half to go and then just kind of dribbled things out. 5 offensive rebounds, 5 defensive rebounds. I didn't go to UCLA, but even I can add 5 and 5. That's 10 rebounds to go with 8 points. And we were talking before the game, as much as we enjoyed 18 points, 2 rebounds against Washington, we said it in the pregame show. Against a team like USC, you're going to need closer to 9 and 9, right? I mean, in terms of points and rebounds, and he did pretty much exactly that with an 8 and a 10.
Yeah, I mean, he did a good job of getting 8 and 10, and you know, he's growing every game. And his activity at the end, even at that last play, if he didn't come across on the help that time,
yeah,
maybe Boogie Ellis makes that shot. So you got to give Adem credit. But one thing that we need to point out, the first half, points in the paint, the Bruins were up 12-8. The end of the game, 28-16, USC destroys the Bruins in the paint. Now, I've always said in our pregame, in the keys, the Bruins have to dominate the paint to get W's, and they have problems this game.
4 points in the paint in the entire second half. That's amazing.
Right.
So even though it wasn't exactly perfectly constructed, let's put it that way, even David Singleton, 95% free throw shooter, missed one right at the end, right?
Right.
Worst we've ever seen him miss a free throw. Bruins held it together defensively. And let's face it, when a Mick Cronin team is going to win and win over a long haul, talking about on into March, deep into March, maybe into April, it's going to be because of defense, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what did it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it came down to getting a stop in one possession. So I'll take the Bruins on that any day.
Bruins now 60-2 under Mick Cronin when they hold their opponent to fewer than 65 points. And again, the only two losses, those buzzer beaters by these USC Trojans. They almost did it tonight. They did not do it tonight. We can give the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag and say, not tonight. But really not a night to gloat because the Bruins had this thing in the bag. They were up by 18. They won by 2.
Be humble, take this win, and get back to work.
So the Bruins, maybe somewhat red-faced, are flying under blue skies in Westwood. It was not easy, but they did win this game by the final of 60-58.
All right, that recap brought to you by our good friends at GorillaMarketing.net. Now, this was a blue-out game. The Bruins packed the arena, 13,659. That many T-shirts were on the chairs at Pauley, and that was thanks to Guerrilla Marketing. Proud sponsor of UCLA Athletics. They don't just turn Pauley blue with those blue T-shirts. We love when they do that, but they do other things like print the Rose Bowl Stadium Guide, support the UCLA Food Closet year after year. They drop ship boxes of swag to incoming students, alumni, and staff. They do it all, and they'd like to go to work for you as well. GorillaMarketing.net. That's how to get in touch with them. So UCLA with a two-point win, they are now 60-2 when the opponent does not score more than 65 points under Mick Cronin. This one was close, and Mick Cronin, after the game, was able to chat with us.
The Bruins do get out of here with a win of 60-58 over USC. Josh Lewin, Tracy Murray with you. Mick Cronin joins us now. And obviously, Mick, it's a win. I know you're happy to have that. It's 11 wins in a row, and that's wonderful. But I'm sure you're going to tell us what the difference was between the first half and the second half besides the score. 44-16 is how you guys got to 60.
We got outplayed in every facet of the game in the second half. How's that for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like they were more aggressive and played with nothing to lose. They were more physical, and we didn't meet the physicality.
Well, there's a reason we chart deflections.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been averaging 38 over a 10-game win streak. We had 14 in the first half. They had 8 points in the paint. We had 14 deflections, forced 7 or 8 turnovers. In the second half, we forced 2 or 3 turnovers. We had 5 deflections, 20 for the game.
Mm.
Got out-rebounded and got dominated in the paint, like 20-4. Got outplayed. It is what it is.
The first half, Mick, I know, you know, it's not a great feeling at the end, but that first half when you got out to the electric start, the crowd is into it, you're up 18-4, a lot of things going right. Can you talk about that a little bit just to kind of get us back into the, I don't want to say the celebratory mood, but just what went right in the first half?
It all starts with defense. See, when you get stops, you put pressure on the other team, you move the ball. Our passing was way better in the first half. We got a lot of open shots. We hit 7 threes because of our passing. Ball movement was good. But I saw it coming in the first half. I mean, we had a chance to be up 30 in the first half. But we had guys taking some ridiculous shots. Yep. Now, Tracy's played. We haven't talked. I just walked out here. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You saw it.
Yep. I mean, I was just about to ask you, do you think they were hunting shots? You know, I know it was evident
I don't
in the
think.
Second half.
I know.
Yeah. It was evident in the second half, but you're right.
Well, in the second half, we didn't finish in the paint. Mm-hmm. Give them all the credit. You know, Jaime's got bad habit of takes too long to get the ball up and in. And I told him at Washington State, he made the adjustment late and stopped trying to get layups. And he kept trying to take 3-4 seconds to get the ball in the basket. By the time you do that, they're going to have 3 or 4 guys there. You know, they take a lot of pride defensively in who they are.
Right.
They held us to 34% for the game. They're 7th in the nation in field goal percentage defense. So I can tell you, I don't need to be in their locker room to know what went on at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, about their defensive effort. And they played the guys in the second half that would defend,
right,
to give them a chance. And we took forever to get the ball up and in. Our ball movement was terrible. Our passing was terrible. And then, let's be honest, we got tight.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you're bricking free throws, bricking open shots, you're missing layups. But that's what happens. You let a team back in the game when you had a chance to put the game away against a quality team.
Right.
I watched this team. I scout this team. You know, they had Tennessee beat.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee, in my opinion, is top 5 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They had them beat. They beat Auburn pretty handily over there, who's the top 25 team. So
We let them back in the game, but deflection charts say everything to me. Mm-hmm. And we got guys playing 30-something minutes with two and three deflections. I'll give you this. Will McClendon, people keep saying to me, like, why is Will playing? Well, Will played the least amount of minutes, and he had the most deflections.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's also unbelievably unselfish. And he's he's got talent. He's just, you know, and his talent will come out the older he gets and the more opportunity he gets and the more he gets comfortable coming off his knee injury. But, you know, he's got four deflections in 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. We got Tigers got two in 30.
Yeah, telling.
Yeah. Now Reese Dixon Waters, he had a heck of a game. I thought
That's
you guys did a good job.
He always plays well against us.
Right, right. I thought you guys did a good job on Ellis and Peterson, but Dixon Waters, 7-for-7 from the field.
How many that was in the second half? Six of them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
6-for-6 in the second half. It's called performing.
Right.
Here's the difference, though, Trace. In the first half, our team defense, we talk about you got to guard the ball and your man. That's what great teams do. In the first half, we did it. We had great team defense. In the second half, we all had our man. Right. I got my man.
Right.
Well, I got my man is what they say, teams say that are like end up 10-21. Bad teams or talented underachieving teams. Like people say, well, what's their problem? Because when they're on defense, they say, I got my man.
Right.
And in the second half, that's who we were.
Right.
Because whenever Reese Dixon Waters, now he had a couple tough shots, but when he went to the paint, what happened? Was there a second defender?
Nope.
Strip, block shot. Nope. Let me ask you this. What happened when we went to the paint?
Four guys in the paint.
Yeah.
Right.
Four guys on Jaime. So, you know, it was a tale of two halves. You know, we got what we deserved. We were fortunate to get the win. We got the wings. We got an offensive rebound. And Jalen Clark had the fortitude to fire it right back up.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's the only thing I had to say positive other than the team meeting we're going to have in our next practice was I just pulled him aside, said I was proud of you. You know, you had the fortitude to take that second shot.
Right.
Didn't flinch.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the killer for sure. Well, Mick, look, I mean, it's an odd feeling, I think, for everybody. You beat SC. You got an 11-game win streak. We're all
No, you should be happy.
I understand. You're the coach. I understand. Yeah, you got some coaching to do, right?
When the day comes, I got the headset on.
I got it.
I'm going to spend 5 seconds saying, man, I feel sorry for that poor guy. He coaches for a living, and I'm going out to eat. So you should not feel any of my stress.
Okay.
You don't even have to fake it. You should go get some dinner, have a glass of wine. You know,
if only it was that easy. But
feel sorry for me for about 5 seconds.
Well,
when I have the headset on, I'm not going to be worrying about the guy. I can promise.
We just want you.
I'm going to laugh at him. I remember when I used to be him.
Well, we're glad you're him right now because you got an 11-game win streak and a great perspective, Mick. Thank you so much, and have a nice week. Have a nice dinner.
Yeah. You think I'm going to be able to stomach food? Thank you, guys.
Thank you, brother. Mick. That's Mick Cronin, and you know it that really is it, Trace. It's the weirdest feeling in the world to me. I mean, because you beat at USC, and instead of walking out of here with your chest out, everybody's kind of like looking down at their shoes.
Right, right. As I said again, it was the most stressful half all year that we had to broadcast through. So I can imagine how he feels.
Right,
having to coach that.
Well, I mean, he's the one that takes it the hardest,
yes.
And he look. I mean, he cares more than any of us. And I get it, but I'm with you. I'm not just going to shrug this one off either. I'm spent.
I'm going to have a hard time sleeping tonight after
wow.
this one. I mean, I've been out there in those wars, so I understand where he's coming from.
A 16-point second half that included a 10-minute drought without a field goal. There's some weird nonsense going on. Sides of backboards getting hit with layups and 95% free throw shooters hitting the front of the rim and all kinds of things that conspired against the Bruins, but they won. And that win streak is 11. They are 14-2. And now, a week from now, Utah's in here, the only other 5-0 team in the conference. So that one, we hope, will be a well-attended game as well.
So it's not getting any easier because not only is Utah coming in, but Colorado's been playing all right as well, and they're not bad. So, I mean, you got two tough games coming in here.
You know about my crumpled $100 bill theory? So if somebody hands you an all crumpled up, sketchy looking $100 bill, still $100, right?
Yeah.
So tonight might have been the ultimate crumpled $100 bill game. Just, you know, take the hundo, go home,
right,
and be very happy that you're 14-2. But yikes.
Yeah, just like I said, take the win and get back to work.
Back to work they will, for sure. In fact, David Singleton's out here working on a shot right now, as he usually does after the game. Bruins do win it. Let's try to end it on an upbeat note here. 60-58 is the final.
All right, kind of some gallows humor there at the end. Just an uncomfortable night all the way around, because the Bruins, even though they beat SC, they did so almost red-faced. 60-58 is the final, but with three in double figures and three only. Jalen Clark, the high man, with 15. It's just enough to get it done. And that Mick Cronin interview, we got to point out, that was presented by the Pernia Law Group and the irrepressible Artie Pernia. Uncle Artie, the UCLA grad who's rolled up his sleeves, going to work for you when you need him to do so. And even if you don't have a pressing need right now, Uncle Artie is still your man. If you go and check him out, he will be great to you. PLGlaw.com to coordinate your free consultation. PLGlaw.com. Pernia Law is the official law firm and sponsor of UCLA Athletics. So the Bruins, who had 4 points in the paint in the second half, who missed every three-point shot they took down the stretch except for two biggies, they ended up 2 for their last 8 at the free throw line after a 9-for-9 start. So many things started crumbling, but the foundation had just enough to stand up. By the final whistle, it was a 60-58 score, and here are your Bruins at 14-2. Utah's in next. We hope you're making plans to come out. That's a 5-0 team in conference against a 5-0 team in conference. That is Thursday night, the 12th of January. That's an 8 o'clock tip at Pauley. For Tracy Murray, thanks to Coach Mick Cronin, this is Josh Lewin. Four's up. Take care and go Bruins.